Mark chapter 5. I'm going to talk to you today about the hem of Christ's garment. And while you're looking at Mark 5, while you're turning to it, I will read you the portion that makes the hem of Christ's garment significant. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garment throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of each border a ribbon, a tassel, of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you follow not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to play the harlot, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, in Mark 5, we'll read about these garments, but the precise spot on the garment that they touch, I will have to read to you from Matthew and Luke. I shan't do that, but we'll read the account in 5:25 of the Gospel of Mark. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind him and touched his garment. And Matthew and Luke say the hem of his garment. For she said, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. And straightway Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power from him had gone forth, turned him about in the crowd and said, who touched my garment? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, hearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This is one who touched the hem of his garment. Now, chapter 6. Turn to chapter 6 and let me read you in verse 56. And wheresoever Jesus entered into villages, or into cities, or into the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this lovely event that took place in the life of thy Son. Our God, how rich, how full, how beautiful is the person of thy Son. And yet, thou dost show us all of these qualities, our God, by the experiences he had with the children of men. We are thankful for this one. We read about a particular person, and then about all those other persons that did the same thing that this woman did. We're so glad that you recorded this portion for us. Let us know that so many of us would want to read about the glories of heaven, the streets of gold, the angels, and yet thou dost tell us something so simple as your Son being at a certain place, and a woman coming behind him and touching the hem of his garment. We are thankful that you take note of such things, because I must know that what was a blessing to her can be a blessing to us, and that is our desire this morning. So by thy Spirit, Father, illumine us and let us understand and see in this woman ourselves and our God. Let us touch the hem of Christ's garment. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you ask me for one word that was most descriptive of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life that he lived, my answer would be elementary. Obedience. That one word. You have been coming out on Lord's Day evening. I've been telling you about the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has not only words telling us of what Christ did in his life, but he has keys coded by colors telling us certain things of the Lord Jesus. If you look at the high priest, you'll see that there were abundance of colors in what he wore and pertaining to the articles of furniture that he ministered to. And the color that is most prominent is blue. You'll find that it is in combination with blue and purple and scarlet, but then you find it by itself in the clothing that he wore. Some of his clothing had blue, purple, and scarlet, but he had one robe of the ephod that was completely blue, and he had one of the articles of furniture that had one covering completely of blue, and all the articles of furniture except the one depicting death, every one of them had a covering of blue upon it, and there was only one color that you would see as the priests carried these articles of furniture through the wilderness, and that is the color blue. All the others had colors, but they had badger skins over the top, and so you would see no color except for the Ark of the Covenant, and on the top of the Ark of the Covenant was the color blue. And if you knew what that color meant, you would understand the one word, obedience. And if you understood who was pictured in that Ark of the Covenant, you would understand that God was pointing down from heaven and saying, my obedient Son. And he did that. When he was baptized, the Father rent the heavens, and he said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he did always the things that pleased his Father. And so if you ask me, what one word was most significant concerning the life of the Lord Jesus when he was on earth, I tell you without hesitation, it is the word obedience. Because if there were not the obedience of the Son, then the touching of the hem of his garment would be meaningless, would be worthless to the woman. Now, I wanted to read you also from Matthew chapter 23, because it tells about certain individuals who were fastidious when it came to doing everything outwardly that God told them to do. And I read to you from Numbers chapter 15, telling the Israelites how they had to dress. You see, if you are God's child, you will listen to him when he tells you how to dress. And he told every child of Israel, on your garments, at the bottom of your garments, on the borders of the garments, I want you to put a ribbon of blue. Why? He said, so that you may look upon that ribbon of blue and remember all of my commandments and do them. Not one thing, but two things. Look upon it, and that blue meant obedience. And he said, then obey. Now, it says the scribes and the Pharisees were those that would display themselves and try to make men think that they were more religious and holier than everybody else. And the Israelite that was humble and obedient to the will of God would simply take a normal sized little ribbon and put it on the borders of his garment. But these scribes and Pharisees would take large borders and put them around their garments. Why? So that everybody would look at them and say, why, look at this man. He's one that obeys God. He's one that looks at that blue and keeps all the commandments of God. And the very fact that they had made that blue color so prominent was a condemnation that they were hypocrites and they did not do the will of God. But the Lord Jesus had an ordinary garment with an ordinary size ribbon of blue on it. And when people looked at him, they could say, this is one who knows all the commandments of God and who does all the commandments of God. Now, the reason I'm telling you about this in particular is because I've been telling you about the high priest. And the robe of the high priest distinguished him as the one of complete obedience. It was a robe entirely of blue. And so the Lord Jesus was the one who was completely obedient unto God. And the significance of that woman touching that ribbon of blue is brought out in three books of the New Testament. Now listen to this. In Romans 5, it says, by the obedience of one were many made righteous. Then, it speaks in Philippians chapter 2. The Lord Jesus, who was with God and was God, made himself of no reputation, and it said, he became obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And then in Hebrews 5 it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. Think, three portions of scripture saying Christ is obedient. He's obedient. He is obedient. And God says, because of his obedience, I can justify all of you who are disobedient. Every Israelite that was indeed a man or woman of truth would look at that ribbon of blue and remember the commandments of God and say, I have broken them. And the Lord Jesus Christ would look upon that ribbon of blue and say, I have kept them. And God tells us that his obedience, by the obedience of the one, there's never been but one man since God created the earth that ever obeyed completely every command that God ever gave, and that was Jesus Christ. And because of the obedience of the one, the many can be made righteous. How many? As many as will. That is what is so remarkable. Obedience of one, and this obedience of the one takes care of the disobedience of the many, and how many there are. It said that God looked down from heaven to see if there were anyone that did good, that understood. He said, there's not one. They've all gone astray. They've all done those things contrary to my will. And do you see now why when God opened the heavens and looked upon his son, his heart was thrilled? Because he said, this is my beloved son who has done all my will. That's the reason that God's delight is in his son. Now, because of that, because of the obedience of the one, and Philippians 2 tells you what that obedience is. He was obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. You say that means he was crucified, and it was an act of obedience. It was not forced upon him, but it was an act of obedience. That's what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Father said, my will is that you bear sin in your body upon the cross. And it said, the Lord Jesus was obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And it says in Hebrews chapter 5, that though he were a son, you would think that a son would have exemption. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And anything that God required of him was not too great for the Lord Jesus. So what is your commandment, Father? And the Father would tell him, and he would say, I obey. In Isaiah 6, when God looked upon a world that needed redemption, the question is asked, whom shall I send? And the Lord Jesus said, here am I, send me. And at the end of his life, he said this in his prayer to his Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. One man that came into the world and did from the moment of his birth until the day of his death, the complete will of God was Jesus Christ. Now, that is why he had on that robe all of blue. That is why a cloth all of blue was over the mercy seat. That is why the Lord Jesus was the only one who ever wore that ribbon of blue, justly and honestly, and obeyed completely everything that it represented. Now, here is the background. And our Savior is in the midst of a multitude of people, and all of them are thronging him, bumping into him. They're all there wanting something. But this woman, and I could have read you about her, you will find that if a woman had an issue of blood, you see, she was hemorrhaging. If this were so, she was unclean, and she was not permitted to be around anyone, associate with anyone, touch anyone. She was an outcast. Of course this woman wanted to come behind Jesus and let nobody know, because had they known, they would have cast her out. She would not be permitted to be there. It was like the lepers. The lepers had to say, unclean, unclean, and cover their mouths. But this woman had suffered so many things. And this is what is so heartbreaking when you look upon this scene. Here is a woman who finds herself 12 years ago experiencing a hemorrhage and nothing could be done about it. And so what money she has, she goes to this physician, she goes to another physician, and all of them pretend to be able to do something for her, but they could do nothing. And instead of getting better, she gets worse. Now, what will happen is this. When a person has had such an experience going through life, wanting to be healed of a broken heart or a sickness or to have their sins forgiven, and they've gone through life and they've had one bitter experience after another, they're likely to come to this conclusion. There is no one who can cure the brokenhearted. There is no one who can heal a person in my condition. But thank God for this. She had tried all the physicians and spent everything she had to try to be healed, and it was without success. But said she had heard some things concerning Jesus. And so she said, I'm going to make one more try. I've heard that there was power in Jesus, and that Jesus can heal. And this is what it says. She was saying to herself, if I touch but his garment, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. She was saying that to herself. And so this woman in that condition comes behind Jesus and she sees that ribbon of blue and she touches it. And immediately, and thank God of this, think, for 12 years she had been trying to get healed and was not successful. And in a moment of time, she comes and touches the ribbon on Jesus' garment, and she's healed. Think, 12 years, one touch. That is the hope that God puts out to you today. I can understand, and I can sympathize with you, when you read of all of these prominent television evangelists and all of these pretenders who tell you how many things they can do for you, but you find out that they're after your money and they're not interested in your soul. I can understand your saying, nobody can do me any good. Because some seek 1 year, and some seek 10 years, and some seek 12 years. And since they have had so many bitter experiences in religion, they say, there is no one who is true in religion, except for this. If you have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, what you have heard about Him is true. All others pretend to be able to do something for you. They can do nothing. And I tell you that every religious experience that you have that is apart from Jesus will do you more harm than it will do you good. And I want you to know this about all evangelists, myself included. I can do nothing for you. Billy Graham can do nothing for you. Martin Luther can do nothing for you. John Calvin can do nothing for you. But one thing I can do is tell you about Jesus Christ, who can do everything for you. That's the only reason that I am here. I am a servant of God, a mouthpiece of God. And I can tell you this, that He has done all things well. And there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse every man from every sin. Now, this woman had heard these things. And what waste would it have been, having spent all and suffered her whole life long for 12 years, what harm would it do to go and touch the hem of Christ's garment? She could only experience another failure. But what happened was this. What she had heard about the Lord Jesus was true. And when she touched Him, immediately power came forth from the body of Jesus Christ, and it healed her completely. And she said, from His body came power, and it healed me in my body. She felt in her body that she was healed. And this is what God can do. Sometimes it comes immediately. Sometimes it comes years later. But this woman knew immediately when she touched the hem of Christ's garment that she was healed, that there was truth and reality in the Lord Jesus Christ. She felt it in her body. And what happens is this, that some try religion, but you ask them, are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? They say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope so. But this woman, when she touched the hem of Christ's garment, immediately knew that she was healed. That is the assurance that you can have. I tell you that whatever religious experiences you've gone through, if the true gospel of the grace of God is presented to you, you will learn how effectual the blood of Jesus Christ is, how merciful God is, and how completely He forgives every sinner that will come and touch the hem of Christ's garment. You learn it immediately if you know the truth of the gospel of the grace of God. And that is what this woman did. Now, think of this. This is her problem. Having been healed, the one who healed her started asking the question, who touched my garment? And the woman was frightened because she thought that she had stolen something from Jesus that was not rightly hers, that He did not want to give her. And the Lord Jesus kept inquiring, and finally He turned around and He saw the woman. And when the woman understood that she had been discovered, it said, and this is so pitiful, she came with fear and trembling. She was shaking, and she fell down before the Lord Jesus, and she confessed all that she did. And then she understood for the first time that not only could Jesus heal her, but that Jesus loved her and wanted to heal her. She was not stealing anything from Jesus, but she was taking by faith from Jesus the very thing that He came from heaven to give mankind. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to heal. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Now, understand, what God does in this woman is to show you in a physical picture what He does for those in spiritual need. If you ask me, well, will Jesus heal my body today? And He did that woman. I tell you, He can heal you today. I have never experienced it in my generation that He does. He did and he shall. And eventually, if you trust him now as Savior, he'll not only forgive you your sins, but he'll take care of that body as well when he comes back from heaven. But that's something that you have to wait for. But the important thing, if you have any intelligence, is the forgiveness of your sins now. Because if he heals your body now, but you continue in your sins, what good is it to enter the life to come without your sins forgiven in a healthy body? And tell me, if your sins are forgiven, and the Lord Jesus comes, and you enter into life, and he gives you a new body, you say, well, then I'm complete. I'm right within, and I'm right without. That is what Jesus Christ does. He heals your soul now, and he will heal your body when he comes back from heaven. He promises that. It says, we Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we wait for a Savior who shall change our vile bodies, our vile bodies of humiliation, and they'll be conformed to his glorious body. He promises you forgiveness of sins now, and he promises you a new body in the life to come. These are the promises that Jesus Christ makes. Now, here is something that he wants you to do for your own good. He wants you to openly confess if you receive a blessing from him. You realize that some people go through life, and I do not know them, but it may very well be that they have touched the hem of Christ's garment, and they've never told anyone that their sins have been forgiven. Why? Let me ask you, do you read in the newspapers today the heinous, the lewd crimes that are committed by men, all the evil things that are perpetrated among the children of men? Would you want them to know about those sins if you had committed them? You say, no, I would do all in my power to conceal them. But what God does is not have you to conceal them, but to reveal them. Because when you do, then you know without any doubt that the very sins that have been such a burden and have made you so ashamed, that they have been attended to by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, now tell me what was wrong with you. And the woman says, I've had an issue of blood. I've been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and I have no right to be here. I have no right to touch you. And when you did touch me, what happened? I was healed of my disease. The Lord Jesus said, that is right. He said, now, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you not see the beauty of that? You have hidden all of these sins. You've never told them to anyone. The Lord Jesus said, tell me those sins, whatever they are. No matter how ugly your disease is, I can heal it. And no matter how ugly the sins of your soul are, I can have those sins forgiven. I can wash them away. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And this is what happens. So you simply come and touch the hem of Christ's garment. Now, understand this. You're liable to think, well, that is the magic way. What you have to do is to come and touch Jesus. No, that is just one way that this woman made contact with the Savior. You realize that at times in the Bible, people that were in need did not come and touch Jesus, but Jesus came and touched them. The beauty of it is this. It is simply that you have to make contact with the Lord Jesus. And some of you say, well, Jesus would never want to touch me. But he does. And because of that, some of you say, well, I will secretly touch the Lord Jesus. It makes no difference. If he touches you, or you touch him, you have come in contact with the one who is able to save your soul. And when you touch him, what has been going on for 12 years, as in this woman's case, in a moment of time, you are completely healed. But now listen, let me tell you of things that are just as simple and just as effective. Here it was a touch, but the Bible says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me. All you have to do is to look unto Jesus in faith for forgiveness of sins. Just look in faith. And he said, I will forgive you your sin. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is to say, Lord, save me, and he will save you. And so you may look by faith and he will forgive you. You may call and he will forgive you, or you may by faith touch the Lord Jesus and he will forgive you. You see how simple God has made salvation? This is the beauty of it. This is the glory of it, the simplicity and the immediacy of it, and the thoroughness of it. That what you are today, you do not have to continue to be, but by coming in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins can all be forgiven, and Jesus wants you to know it, and Jesus wants to bless you. Now think, how, and I've wondered this, how in a world filled with so many people, do I know that when I say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need saving, how do you know that Jesus would ever know you said anything, that you are interested in getting saved? There's so many people in the world who could even think of such a thing, that this insignificant person could say something and that Jesus would hear you. That is why God puts these things in the Bible. I felt the same thing. Look, here is a friend that dies, and I'm to take the funeral. And I'm to say that God knew that this individual died and that he took him to heaven? Yes, that is what God wants us to know. And that is why he lets us know that people that do things even secretly, Jesus knows. And this is my hope, because some people go through life and they may have had a touch with Christ, and they may have been forgiven, but their whole life is one of uncertainty for this reason. If you touch him and you've heard things concerning the Lord Jesus, you say, well, if what I heard was true, if I touched him, then I'm saved. If what I heard was true. But do you not understand? When Jesus searches you out and asks you to come and make a confession, when you do, it is no longer, I've heard about Jesus, and it may be so, but I have heard from Jesus, and I know it is so. That is the importance of your understanding that in a world so big, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But that world includes you. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, you, this insignificant individual, this speck upon the earth, God hears you. He is aware of you. And he will answer that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So, this is the glory of the portion that I've read to you this morning. The hem of Christ's garment. And you thought you had to go to the end of the earth on a pilgrimage to have your sins forgiven. You thought you had to do something to make you worthy before Jesus would be interested in you. You thought there was something about you that had to be made acceptable in God's sight. But the only thing that God is interested about you is your confession of your sins. And you are knowing that he is the one who came into the world to forgive sin. Now, understand this, that in all the obedience of Jesus, that obedience was for you. And by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Why do you think I also read to you from Mark chapter 6? Because in Mark chapter 5, you have the experience of one individual that touched the garment of the Lord Jesus. He may have done it for one, but I do not know that he would do it for me. That is why I read to you in Mark chapter 6 that the same thing that this woman did, they did. And it says, as many as touched his garment were made whole. Grasp that. Not this one individual, not an exception, but as many as touched his garment were made whole. What does that mean? It means this. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That when God so loved the world, it included me. And if I make contact with Jesus Christ by faith, he will forgive me, because he's the Savior of sinners. And Jesus loves sinners, and Jesus can do for you what no other man can. And I rejoice that God has sent me to give you that good news today. Jesus' hem of his garment is still available. Touch it and live. Let us pray. And Father, we're so thankful in a world that is filled with sin and pretension and hypocrisy that there is one man that delighted your heart, your Son, the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful, Father, that He is the universal Savior. Have you not loved the world? God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. And our desire, Father, is that that world for whom Christ died, that that world shall come and make contact by faith with Jesus Christ. So by your Spirit, accomplish what we are unable to do. And Father, we can speak the words, we can pray, but only your Spirit can work upon the hearts of men. So may this day come here, touch the hem of Christ's garment, and then may we hear them confess the blessing that has been theirs. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.